One of my favorite songs is The Cat's in the Cradle. Maybe some of you might know that. Probably that's not the younger people. I found out that it's an old song. Of course, I never knew the phrase Cat's in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. I had no idea what that meant. I was like, what is that all about? So, of course, in this day and age, all you have to do is just Google it, right, and give you the answer, which is what I had to do because I figured if I'm going to talk on it, I might as well figure out what that phrase means. Right, so the cat's cradle is that kid's game that you play with strings in between the hands and you pull them out and make that. I had no idea. I never played that game, so I didn't know it was called cat's cradle. And the idea of a silver spoon, meaning being rich, you know, kids who eat with a silver spoon in their mouth were considered rich, well, maybe a little spoiled, right? Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon are two nursery rhymes. So you see now how much you can learn just by Googling things. And I had never heard of the Man in the Moon nursery rhyme. I heard about the cow who jumped over the moon and the dish ran away with the spoon, but not the one who's a man in the moon when the little children. But anyway, it's a cute little nursery rhyme, the Man in the Moon, if you want to Google that. But getting back to the song, I think it's a great song that must haunt, I think, a lot of parents. Because it starts off with how a father is singing to his child, and you don't need to worry, I'm not going to break out in song, so you can be sure of that, right? Right, so his father sings about how his child's arrived just the other day, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay, so the son learned how to walk while he was away, so you get the rhythm of that. And then the son says that he's going to be just like his dad someday. And then when his son turned 10, he asked his father to play ball, but his father says not today because he has a lot to do. And the son repeats that he's going to be just like his father someday. And then before you know it, the son comes home from college and his father asks if he could just sit for a while and talk. But his son says that he's going to have to do that later because now he just wants to borrow the car keys. So the son says, see you later. Can I have them, please? And then the father asks, when you coming home, son? And the son says, I don't know, but we'll get together then. And then, of course, the father retires, and the son moves away, and the father calls him up just to see if he'd like to see his son. But his son says he's got a new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you. And the father hangs up the phone and realizes that his son had grown up just like him, for having no time for each other and being so busy, putting all kinds of things before the family. So in the end, the son became the example that he was as his father and realized that the father realizes he's all alone now because he never took time for his son and now his son never took time for him. What makes the song meaningful is that it takes seriously the role of example, the kind of example we are for each other, for our children, for our families, for our friends, the kind of role models we have. Sometimes without realizing it, we're setting ourselves up on a road that many others will follow. In this age-old story of parents who swear and then they're surprised when their children swear, right? Or they lie or smoke or drink and they wonder, where did their children pick up these things? And of course, you know that most behaviors learned and the examples that we have seen with our families, our friends, our TVs, our athletes, in our culture, they're all repeated by the next generation because they're our role models. Now, we can talk until we're blue in the face, right, about how we should be, but it's only when we live out the example that it really speaks to people. I think most of us would agree with that, right? We take a look at our role models, and it's come no surprise why so many people act the way they do. We have that old saying, parents used to say, do as I say, not as I do. But most of the time, that carries very little weight among people. That if you're going to say something, it means because you yourself are going to do it. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Cross. And we say that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Now, there's always the question, well, why? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Couldn't he have just kind of snapped his fingers, right, like that? And everything would have still happened if he's God. We're all forgiven, and everything's kind of cool between God and us. You know, if he's God, he could do all that stuff. And the answer, why would he have to come and die on the cross? It's often one of the many questions I get. And the answer is, of course, he could have done all of that if he wanted to. Absolutely, we say that. He could have done it any way that he wanted. So then the real question then is, why would, if he could do it anyway, choose this way? Why did he choose dying on the cross as the way when he could have done it so many other ways, even a much easier ways and also maybe painless ways? Why would he allow human beings to do that to him? Now, there could be many reasons, but we get a glimpse when we see that he gave us all an example to follow. So he didn't just say, you know, you got to be faithful to God in good times and in bad. He gave us the example of what it meant to do that. Now, I'm convinced that the reason why faith is struggling today in our culture is because Jesus, crucified on the cross, is no longer the role model for so many people of faith. Our children, our parents, our culture no longer look to Christ on the cross and say, I want to be just like him. Now, of course, not that we want to all hang on a cross, because that's not what we're talking about, have nails driven through our hands and feet. But we want to be the kind of person that Jesus is, have the faith that he has, was as sacrificial and as giving as he was. When we look to Christ on the cross, what does it tell us about the kind of person we should be if he were to be our role model? If we really wanted to be like him, what are the values and morals we see in him on that cross? And as we stare at the crucifix, which hangs in every church and hopefully hangs in every one of your homes, hopefully in every room, and we meditate on it, hopefully we see the faithfulness to his Father, even in the face of suffering and death, even a self-sacrifice for others, and our call to service and to give of ourselves in that same selfless way for goodness, even in the face of hostility and hatred, to stand up for what is good and right and holy. That's the model. And as the model, we see him, the extent that he was willing to go to express his love for others and his lack of attachment to these things in this world. His call for humility and the desire to do God the Father's will even above his own will, and so much more. He said these things in his life. He said that's what we should be doing. That's what he was preaching all those many chapters before the crucifixion, all during his life. But it's actually on the cross where we see all those words, everything he said, become real. Sort of the way the rubber hits the road. And he gave him all that credibility of what he had to say. So on this Feast of the Holy Cross, where we're celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross, it can't end just there. Hopefully we're inspired by his example to be just like him. For good or for bad, we become like the people we hold up as our models for us. Let's keep Christ as the great model. And if it's not going to be Christ, then who is the model you're holding up?